Hi, my name is Roman. I'm Principal Software Engineer and Network Service Tech Lead at Profium. Today I'll tell you how to build a platform-agnostic and hardware-agnostic secure network of trusted applications on untrusted hosts. We all love the cloud. It's convenient. It enables companies to save money, grow faster, and eliminates the need for a ton of work managing and maintaining our own infrastructure. It simply makes our lives easier. Well, for the most part. Unfortunately, security breaches do happen, and they're costly. According to IBM Cost of a Data Breach 2022 report, $9.44 million is the average cost of a data breach in the US, $4.35 million is the average total cost of a data breach globally, and $10.10 million is the average total cost of a breach in the healthcare industry. Unfortunately, or rather quite fortunately given the risks, businesses from various highly regulated sectors, like financial or medical, simply cannot benefit from cloud offerings due to different laws around things like privacy and data protection. But it doesn't necessarily have to be this way. Confidential computing, by allowing protection of data in use, creates opportunities to do things which simply weren't possible before. One way to benefit from confidential computing would be to just simply use the TEs directly. For example, we could use the SDK provided by the hardware manufacturer, and equipped with a thick stack of documentation, on we go. It works, but there are quite a few drawbacks. First and foremost, security is hard. Writing software directly communicating with a secure CPU is not exactly everyone's cup of tea. If all you need is a simple microservice application with a small REST API, diving deep into internals of a particular hardware technology just should not be necessary. It takes away the precious time that could be otherwise spent on developing revenue-producing business logic. But let's say we went ahead and developed our secure layer interfacing with a particular CPU technology. Well, now we have to maintain it. Now, apart from that, we also have to fix any bugs we might have introduced and hope that none of them are exploitable. People make mistakes, and the more code there is, the more opportunity there is to make one. After putting all of this work in, now imagine that you want to switch to a different service provider, which does not offer the same hardware technology you've used originally. Or much more concerning, what if a vulnerability is discovered in a particular hardware technology you developed against? The different trusted execution environments just are not exactly compatible. So you're left with just two choices, really, is either wait until the vulnerability is fixed and hope your application is not exploited in the meantime, or you go ahead and redo all of the work you've already done for the original technology for the new one. Last but not least, chances are that someone had already done this before, and fundamentally, the concepts that make systems secure do not change, so most likely you're going to just repeat the same work that someone else has already done. At Profium, we are custodians of the NARCS open source project, which, among other things, is designed to address exactly the issues I've just outlined. It's a thin, secure layer of abstraction in between the host and the TEE. It's essentially a secure runtime, which lets you execute your WebAssembly workloads inside arbitrary trusted execution environments. NARCS has support for various backends. Today, that's Intel GX and AMD 7P, but as more and more TEEs are made available, support will be added for them as well. NARCS project was started in 2019, and in 2021, Profium was founded, which is committed to being 100% open source and providing services and support for NARCS. In 2022, we also launched our enterprise products. So, now, why WebAssembly? It's polyglot. It's supported by languages like Rust, C, C++, Go, Java, Python, C#, Java, Ruby, Zig, and the list goes on and on. Right? So, it's designed to be portable and embeddable. It has functional equivalents to a usual native binary, so for the most part, the development process is exactly the same as for developing any other application. There are emerging system API standards, called WASI, to which, by the way, we also contribute. You can run NARCS outside of TEE for development purposes. It runs on Linux, Windows, and Mac. Both x86-64 and ARM64 are supported. Trusted execution is currently only available on x86-64 Linux. For SGX, you'll need a recent kernel and a few Intel-provided services running, like ASMD and PCCS. And for AMD 7SMP, all you really need is, unfortunately, a recent kernel with a patch set provided by AMD. So the patches are not mainline yet, but we also maintain our own kernel tree with everything you could possibly need for this. Now, let's see how is NRX actually deployed. On the left here, we have a tenant. Let's call her Jane. On the right, we have a CSP server with a supported CPU, on which Jane wants to deploy her workload. How does Jane ensure integrity of the workload being executed by CSP and confidentiality of its data in use? To do that, Jane will ask to execute her workload, to ask CSP to execute her workload in NRX. The first thing that the keep does is it asks a secure CPU to measure the encrypted memory pages containing the keep itself. This is the execution layer and the shim. The CPU then returns a cryptographically signed attestation report containing the measurement along with information about the CPU, for example, the firmware version used. The execution layer then sends the report to an attestation service for validation. In NRX, this attestation service is called Steward. The Steward will make sure that the keep is indeed trusted. It will check the signature of the report to ensure it's being run in a hardware-based trusted execution environment, and will also make sure, for example, that the CPU firmware version used is not vulnerable, and it will verify that NRX execution layer was not tampered with. On successful attestation, Steward then issues a certificate for the keep, which is used to fetch the workload from a registry. We call it drawbridge in NRX. The certificate is also used for performing cryptographic operations, for example, for providing transparent TLS to the workload. Now, let's see how this works in practice. To begin with, let's see how do we actually run something within an NRX keep. The fundamental unit of work executed by NRX today consists of just a WebAssembly executable and NRX key configuration. For example, here is what it looks for my chat server that we're going to secure later. This is the key configuration. So here is my steward is configured, right? My personal steward that I've deployed on VPS, and my stern IO configuration. And in this case, I want to inherit everything from the host. So that means I want to print everything to the host and I also get stern IO assigned in from the host. This file would also contain things like network policy or trust anchors, and other things like that. So I've already uploaded this to my personal drawbridge and I tagged it with a tag of 010. So let's see what that looks like. For that, I'll do a request to my drawbridge, and what I get back here from this request is a tag, right? Or we also call it an entry. And so an entry is nothing else than a node inside a Merkle tree. And it's a Merkle tree because it contains the digest of the contents of itself. Now, what does it mean is that if I would, for example, go one layer deeper and inspect the actual tree associated with this tag, I'll see that it contains the nrx.toml and main.wasm we've seen earlier. Now, if I were to, for example, compute the digest of my nrx.toml, you'll see that it's exactly the same digest we see here and here. Now, I can go, of course, one step up, and instead of computing the digest of the nrx.toml, I can compute the digest of the the actual entry, the actual tag, right? And for that, I will just do a request again to the same URL, and again, compute the digest of it. Now, if you remember, you'll notice that this is, again, exactly the same digest that we see in our tag. Right, and so this digest is in fact a digest of the minified JSON of this object that we've seen over here. Right, so this is nicely formatted for us by JQ, but when you do a request directly, you just get a minified JSON, which we then hash. So here I am logged in to AMD service and P-capable machine. I could, for example, read the CPU info, and I will grep for model name, and I'll only want one entry, and you'll see that this is indeed an AMD EPYC 7513 processor. So I'm going to use NRX deploy, and I'll also specify the backend explicitly to, deploy the workload we just looked at. So I'm going to use again my custom drawbridge. I'll deploy the chat server version 1.0.1, exactly the same one that we have seen before. And then I'm going to switch to yet another server, again remote. This one has support for the SGX. Again, I'll do here. You see, this is Intel Xeon 6338, and here I'll also do NRX deploy. And in this case, I will execute the chat client. Now, once it starts, it will ask me for a URL. I'll put here the address and the port. So as you can see here, I've connected. Here you can see that the server also acknowledged the connection. And if you just look here, you'll see the exact same digest we've just seen in our entry. It was over here, right? So we also see the slug of the server we just ran on that other server, the version, right? So all this information came from the certificate. So it's cryptographically signed data contained within the certificate, which we are, NRX actually parts for us and exposed to the workload. Similarly, the server also have received the slug that the client was deployed from, and it also received the digest of the workload. So by looking at the certificate, we now can know exactly what workload is that other party running. We could also try to inspect this. You can use OpenSSL to connect, and sure enough, we see our certificate. You can see here that it's currently encoded as a common name. It should be a SAN, of course, but this is just a proof of concept. So you can see here in the certificate chain that we have a certificate with a common name associated with the slug and the digest, and it was issued to us by the steward. By the steward that I have told you deployed in my own infrastructure. And there's also my own CA in the root chain, which actually signed the steward cert before. Note that if we look at the server logs, we'll notice the OpenSSL connection, which actually was not let in by the server, right? And it says here that the client did not present a valid certificate. Right, so this was not a keep with a valid certificate issued by the steward, therefore the server didn't trust it and didn't let it in the secure chat room. Similarly, if I were to use NRX with a different backend than SGX, for example, I would use a KVM, which is not a real TEE, right, it's just a KVM backend, it will not even attest to the steward. So the steward wouldn't issue a cert for us. Right, and then we cannot connect to, we cannot actually execute the workload in NRX. Now, let's look at how we actually achieved this. And to begin with, let's look at the client. And you'll notice it's quite a small executable actually. And notice also, so this workload doesn't actually need to do any TLS itself or anything like that. The NRX runtime handles all the TLS connections for it. So, and by default, all connections are TLS anyway. So we're going to use a virtual file system to connect to an address at runtime. Unfortunately, this is required right now due to limitation of the WASI spec, but there's work going on providing this APIs, but currently it's not possible to just call a connect syscall like you would normally do, but that's why NRX provides a virtual file system to actually connect to a particular address. Now, similarly, there's another virtual file system to extract the peer data from the connection we have established. And in this case, we can simply match on that peer in information. So here, for example, if we are presented with an anonymous peer, so which did not have a TLS certificate, we just simply abort. And this would also be triggered if the certificate would be not signed by a trusted party, like a steward with trust. If it was a local workload, and it was executed in a real TEE, right, we could still trust it, because we know the expected digest of the package that we have uploaded to the drawbridge. This is, by the way, the exact same digest we have seen before. Maybe you see it is over here, right? So this is the exact same digest we've looked at before. Now, in a happy flow, of course, we are presented with the actual NR's key, which is then associated with slug and the digest. And what we can do here is we can actually match on the actual workload slug. So where did this workload actually came from? Its version, right? And in this case, we don't even need to check the digest because we trust the drawbridge slug. So in this case, we have verified these three versions and we do not want to allow any other versions, right? Of course, this would eventually become keeping configuration, probably. It could be, again, specified in NR's terminal, but for now, just for simplicity, I've included everything in the source code. Now, similarly, we have the server part. And it has a very similar peer check over here, where it, again, checks for anonymous, local, and keep. And it actually doesn't let any local workload in, and it only allows, essentially, official releases that they're verified and were issued perhaps by this entity over here. So let's get back to the slides. If you're interested in this project, you can get involved using one of the links provided over here. And yeah, now a moment of a sad announcement. Just a few hours before recording this video, I found out that Profion is closing, and therefore the NRS project is looking for maintainers. And I'm looking for a job. So if you know anyone who would be interested in the NRS project or me, please let me know. You can contact me or email or on LinkedIn, and here's my GitHub handle. And yeah, now it's time for questions. Thank you.